All right, we're going to qualify another person for our dinner at Original Joe's in April, and it's a trivia question. Raph is standing by, and here's the question. Ann Killian of the San Francisco Chronicle is going to join us. So, Ann, do not yell this answer out.
Okay,
all
I
right,
won't.
Please don't. All right. High-quality starts are games started by a pitcher with at least 7 innings pitched and 2 or less runs scored. That's a high-quality start. So who has the best career high-quality start percentage as any of any New York or San Francisco Giant, okay? And I'll give you 4 names, and you pick out the one that you think has it. Carl Hubbell, the great Carl Hubbell, King Carl Hubbell. Juan Marichal. Matt Cain, hard luck Matt Cain. Or Tim Lincecum, the 2-time Cy Young Award winner. One of those 4 has the highest percentage of high-quality starts. So 415-478-KMBR is the number. Raph is standing by. You're not going to say it.
I'm not going to. No. No, but I recently went to Original Joe's and had a fantastic meal.
Oh, beautiful. Very good. The Dugans are very, very nice. And we do these dinners. It's terrific. Hey, you're here at Camelback Ranch. It was wonderful seeing you yesterday over at Scottsdale. Did you pack a lunch to come over here today?
I did not. They have no food for us?
They do, but
it is quite a hike. It is quite a hike. I got to say, you know, the Giants definitely have the premium locale over the Dodgers.
Yeah, you're fine.
That is definitely one thing that they've got. Because, I mean, this is a beautiful stadium, but it's so far away. It takes so long to get out here. The traffic is backed up really badly right now, I'm sure good for the Dodgers, but it's tough to get in here. The last time I was in Glendale was the day after the Giants won the World Series in 2012, and I flew directly from Detroit to Phoenix to cover the 49ers Monday night game, which was the last game that Alex Smith played. Or finished.
As you drive over here, so fans get the idea of where it is, you do pass the stadium where the Phoenix Cardinals play. And Bruce Jenkins today described it as a planet. It looks like something landed there.
It does. It looks like a spaceship landed. And it used to be much more extreme because now it's sadly, you know, the development has creeped all the way out here, and so there's a lot more around it. But when they first built that stadium, it looked like it had just been plunked down, you know, from outer space.
Yeah, Bruce described it as 2 blocks from nowhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, which puts the Dodgers stadium 2 blocks from nowhere, too.
Really?
3 blocks from nowhere.
Hey, the lineup today, as I'm looking at it, and I know you'll have an angle on what you want to do today. I'm going to ask you maybe what you're thinking about. But from the Dodgers standpoint, they open up in less than 2 weeks in Australia. Sean Figgins, former Seattle Mariner, and Angel leads off. A.J. Ellis, Puig hitting third. He's back from wherever he was with personal issues. Adrian Gonzalez. Then some names you don't know. Turner, Baxter, Guerrero, Rojas. But then Kershaw.
Yes.
And this game has interest to me. It really does.
Yeah, it does. It's the first time the Giants and the Dodgers have played in spring training. And, you know, I mean, it's hard to get too wrapped up in spring training, as we saw with yesterday's game, right?
Yes.
but that's why I'm here. I mean, the Giants, you know, have the futures back at Scottsdale Stadium today. But, you know, they're going to face Kershaw, who the A's hit pretty hard in his last outing. And all the starters are over here. And Bochy and his staff is here.
Right.
So it made sense to come out here. And I'm kind of hoping it's one of those, as columnists, we do what Red Smith used to say, God will provide. It's one of those days. Something will happen.
Well, no, seriously, and that's the way we work because, you know, I did the pregame for so many years, and people would say to me, how do you know what you're going to do? I say, when I get to the ballpark, something will happen.
Yeah.
And that's the way you do it. And it's funny, Red Smith, boy, what a great columnist he was.
Yeah, he sure was.
Boy, did you read a lot of Red Smith?
I have collections.
Wonderful.
I'm a little too young to have actually read him.
I mean in collection. What else do you collect? Others?
You mean other writers?
Yes.
You know, I mean, I like those collections of best sports writing of the year and stuff, just to see what's happening. But to be honest, when I'm just reading, I'm not reading best sports usually. I'm trying to broaden my horizon a little bit.
All right. Ann Killian with us as she broadens her horizon. How did you get into sports writing? I never asked you that.
Well, I have always been a huge sports fan, and I was the sports editor of my high school newspaper and TAM High in Mill Valley. And I after I was out of college for a while and kicking around in the public relations business, I decided to go get my master's in journalism. And rather than, you know, start at the bottom covering cops in Little Rock, Arkansas or something, not that that's a terrible job, but I decided I would try and get a job in with the section that I thought, one, had the best writing in the newspaper, and two, was still the first section I grabbed. And, you know, I knew in my PR work I had done... I'd worked on a couple of sports events that our sponsors, that our corporate clients had sponsored, and I met sports reporters, and they just seemed like they liked their jobs so much more than some of the other journalists I met. So that had a big influence on me, too, because, you know, if you're going to work your butt off, you might as well be happy in what you do.
Boy, I go for that. Trust
exactly.
me. I spent 25 years doing something else.
I know you did. I know. And that's I come from a family who do that,
the
who
lawyers.
Are lawyers.
The lawyers. All right. Hey, Ann with us, Ann Killian with us. When you broke in, did you find discrimination against you as a female, or do you still feel it? Or do you just walk in and you do your job, you don't even think about it, even in the beginning?
In the beginning, much more so, because it was, there had been women before me, but I was kind of in the second wave of women who came into the business. And it was still tough in some places and with some players and with some people. You know, like the first manager I ever covered in baseball was Larry Boa. I was working in San Diego for the LA Times, and he was just, you know, a very intimidating character. And yeah, it varied from place to place. I think women who worked on the coasts were, you know, had an easier time than maybe, you know, if you were in Norman, Oklahoma or something like that. And I think that's probably still true today. But now it's not so much. I mean, I've been in the Bay Area market for so long, you know, that I've outlasted every general manager, every owner, every manager, coach, all the players, you know. When I see players I used to cover, it's super friendly now, even some of the ones who gave me a hard time. So, you know, I think it's just like anything else. You know, you show that you have longevity, you're going to be around, you have credibility. And media has certainly changed. And, you know, there seems to be more, I don't know.
Diverse.
No, actually not. I mean, that's one of you would think the media would get more diverse, but it seems like there's still a little bit of a frat boy mentality in some circles, not to disparage frat boys. But, yeah, so, I mean, sometimes I just have to laugh about that. But in general, I think, you know, it's like any other job. If you prove you can do the job and you have the respect of people, you know, then everything works out.
Yeah, that's a good lesson of life. Ann Killian with us as the Giants are starting to filter in here. The bus is here. See, I knew the bus was leaving 10 after 11. I won the pool yesterday, you know.
I know you did. Yeah. I saw you. Yeah,
right.
So I beat them by about 10 minutes. I left around 11.
Yeah, they're just coming in. That's a sign of spring training. It's 10 after 12, and they're just walking in right now. As you talk about covering players in the past, tomorrow will be a very interesting day for everybody.
Yeah, it sure will.
As number 25 comes back, Barry Bonds, to be an instructor. What do you think about it? How are you going to approach it?
Well, I think it's really interesting. And anyone who says, oh, you know, it's just like a week at spring training, what's a big deal? What is a big deal? I mean, this is the man who dominated the Giants' persona, the organization, for, you know, 15 years, and this will be the first time he's in a uniform and with the Giants since he walked out of the last home game in 2007. And, you know, he was
amazing,
bigger than life in many ways. He was, you know, a force. He was controversial. You know, and he's hasn't stopped being controversial since he stopped playing. So it's going to be a really interesting thing. And the thing that, you know, I've spent a lot of my life, a lot of my career covering Barry Bonds, waiting for Barry Bonds, being blown off by Barry Bonds, trying to decipher what Barry Bonds is all about. And it's really interesting to me, especially when I go in the Giants clubhouse now, and now, especially this week, I've been thinking about it because I know Bonds is coming back. What a vastly, vastly different place it is now than it was back then. And, you know, obviously there's two world championships, but there's just such a different vibe inside the clubhouse. And, you know, One of the staffers, who's a young guy, one of the Giants staffers yesterday said, is it really that different? And I just, I like laughed at him. I'm like,
you had to see it.
Oh, my goodness. And the only people who could really address it are Matt Kamen and Tim Lincecum, because they were there. I mean, Bruce Bochy obviously could. But really, these guys have no idea how different it is and what a looser, more cohesive place it is than it was all through the 2000s and the late 90s.
What do you anticipate tomorrow with him? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I mean, I'm of the belief that he will be on his best behavior, and that part of this is an image rehabilitation, as it's been with other players who've have run into trouble and want to make a comeback. I mean, like Mark McGwire and Roger Clemens. I mean, I do think, you know, Bonds has a very charming side when he chooses to have it, yeah. Which he didn't show it that often, especially to the media. But so I expect him to be charming. I expect it to be, exciting for the players. I mean, he's a legend. And for most of these guys, they were in high school or even in middle school when he was playing, so they don't know really anything about him. So I just think it's going to be an interesting day. It'll be a really interesting day, and it's going to be a crowded day. There's going to be a lot of national media there, I imagine.
Yeah, I ran into Bob Nightingale last night, and he laughed and said, everyone's flying in for this one.
People are flying in. I mean, I imagine Comcast is probably going to broadcast it live. I imagine MLB Network will broadcast it live. I mean, and I don't know. You know, I don't know what...
Yeah.
I don't know what to expect. I mean, Bonds has never been one to really, when they had to have him come and talk while he was breaking records, he really hated doing it. So he's never really been a press conference kind of guy. It'll be interesting.
But I'd like to see him in the cage. I want to see him on the field, get in the batting cage, take a few swings, and show the guys what to do.
Yeah.
You know, the old Ted Williams, Willie Mays used to do it. They'd challenge Willie to get in the cage and hit one out.
Yeah.
Williams used to do it. The great stories of Williams doing it when he was a manager.
Right. And, you know, I'm sure...
Maybe his back hurts. Maybe he won't do it.
I don't know. You know, I understand, you know, he's been cycling. And the last time I saw him, he was a much smaller guy. So I don't know. I mean, he's pretty fit. But it's interesting because, you know, I've always been of the belief that it's really hard for people who are immensely talented to pass along that knowledge. Now, you know, his dad was a teacher, you know, was a pretty good hitting coach when he did that, obviously, you know, taught his sons. So I'm sure he has techniques and tactics that he's picked up from other people that he can teach. But there's also, you know, it's one of the reasons you don't see unbelievable athletes turning into coaches and managers is because they can do it, and they don't really know how to explain how they do it a lot of the time.
Yeah, just watch me.
Yeah, I'll just do it.
Right.
Don't ask me to talk about it.
Just do it. Hey, nice to have you with me, as always. I want you to do a post-game show with me.
Okay.
I've invited you. Come on, I'm inviting you again this year.
Let's do it this year. We'll do it one of these days.
It'd be terrific. Take calls, and it'd be a pleasure to work with you on that.
Okay.
All right, Ann Killian, San Francisco Chronicle, out here in the beautiful sunshine of Camelback Ranch. Annie, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, Marty.
All right, more coming up right here on KMBR 680. We're getting closer to game time right here on the Sports Leader.